brought to you by Currency Fair. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Sideshow Garden Podcast.
It's another Friday afternoon, and you are indeed listening to the Sideshow Garden Podcast, brought to you by the wonderful people at Currency Fair, currencyfair.com, and at Currency Fair on Twitter. Yeah, okay, see, right, a pause there, because there's supposed to be, you know this from listening to the Daz Ultra adverts or the Cillit Bang adverts, you know, the Daz Ultra, the better way to eat guacamole whilst watching the A-Team at 3 a.m. when you really should have come home a lot earlier or some. And it's not that I can't do the lines or I want to fight the man. That's never what, you know. Currency Fair are really cool people. They are. But I don't like the kind of, Sideshow was never, it was just me talking to you. That's all it ever was. And it's not that it changes anything. It doesn't, does it? It doesn't. It actually makes things better. So here's an example, and I said this probably on last week's show. Actually, who did I have on the show last week? That was Leah Leendertz. She writes for The Telegraph. She's crowd fundraising, is that even right, English, for her Almanac, which you and I both know is a reference to Back to the Future Part 2. Good man, Biff. It's a good thing he changed the headline in that newspaper. We had Rob Hardy on 2 weeks before that. Legend, absolute legend, and fellow Arsenal man. And Matthew Potash, who is the head don, the El Guapo, at RHS Garden Wisley. And what a place that is. Back to Currency Fair. Here's what happened. I had to pay, well, I was supposed to pay 20 quid members, no, 20 quid to enter the Sideshow to the Garden Media Guild Awards. Boom. Nice moment. And they kind of sent me a note back saying, look, you don't have to pay the 20 quid, but now that you've paid 20 quid, maybe you'd like to actually join. And I kind of took a rummage around. I spoke to my mate, Tommy Tunsberg, who we're hoping to have on the show. And I spoke to Tommy, and Tommy went, hey, you should do that. I spoke to Michael Perry, and he said, you'll be like us. It'll be great. You could be part of the gaggle. So I sent them 80 quid membership. Currency Fair tells me that if I had have paid the £80 sterling through a bank, it would have cost me €121. That's not good, people, not good at all. Instead, I paid it through Currency Fair and it cost me €96.38. The difference between is €24.62. Now, you and I both know, because we're all whiz kid mathematicians, that €24.62 is not €24.62. It's 6 pints of Guinness at €4.10 each, and it leaves you a 2 cent change. I am the chosen one. Me and Jose Mourinho are getting it on, brother. That's just the way it is. And that's what Currency Fair do. Let's get to the serious part of it. They've paid for that, essentially, based on you listening. And that's what it's all about. They're not silly. They're in business. They've got to have, how do you say it? A bit of love, like Sonny and Cher, like Two Unlimited, like Bross. But okay, maybe not the last two, but definitely Sonny and Cher. You know, she wore cool bell-bottom pants at the time back then, and there's a lot to be said for the Jimi Hendrix experience, and I'm veering off track. But in short, without Currency Fair, I couldn't be talking into this piece of kit that I have now. Microphone Garden Media Guild trip to, you'll hear it on the show, I'm going there in January. It's coming up, it's with Laura at the perennial thing. We'll get there in a minute. But it's all thanks to you. And some of you went a stage further and not only sent Currency Fair a note like Rob Hardy did and said, very well done, lads. You went and you bought a Sideshow official merch t-shirt, which was extra super duper nice of you. So here's the thing. If you want to save yourself a few bob, do it through Currency Fair. See if you can. It's a cross-currency thing. It won't yerk. It won't yerk. If you want to buy a yerk, in Britain, there you go. If you want to buy a yerk in Britain from Ireland, or from Ireland to the UK, or the Dominican Republic, let's say. I don't know what a yerk is. There are many things I don't know in my life. Gingham, how they got the figs into the fig rolls and yerks. It's probably about high time we got on with today's show. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening at Sideshow on Twitter, facebook.com/thesideshow, and sideshow.com for anything else you might need. Please give her a warm welcome, Miss Laura Garnett, in association with currencyfair.com. Didn't I get that in nicely? Enjoy.
It's another Friday afternoon, and on today's Sideshow Garden podcast, my company is...
My name's Laura Garnett, and I'm Development Manager for Perennial.
For those who aren't aware, we have had Perennial on the show before, a very now famous interview with the amazing Chris Crooker. Hi, Chris, if you're listening to this. Laura, number one, for those who aren't aware, who maybe haven't heard that, and go listen to it afterwards, not just at this moment in time, but what is Perennial? What does Perennial do?
Perennial is the trade charity for anyone who works or who has worked in horticulture. And what we do is we offer practical help and support for people when times get tough.
I'm in landscaping 15 years. First of all, you're based, I guess, in the UK, but not in, let's say, the what we know as the Republic of Ireland. But for those who are in the UK who are, again, let's say like myself, 15 years in landscaping, why would I pick up the phone to you?
People pick up the phone for a number of reasons. People pick up the phone because... usually because they're in trouble or getting to a point in their life when they're getting to be in trouble. They might have hit a problem with loss of work. They might have lost their job. They might be ill. They might have debt problems. Anything that life throws at us today, anything that causes a bump in the road, that's why people pick the phone up to us.
One of the things that struck me recently, and it popped up on my radar a bit, and we have a huge problem with it literally back home and here, is number one, let's be quite frank about this, because statistically it is correct. Grown men who are not able to talk or don't talk, and I guess the adverse side of that is a little bit on the depression side of it and suffering a little bit there. Perennial had put out a note literally saying, if you need to talk. Mm-hmm. I took that on a couple of levels. Mm-hmm. Am I fair to, was that right of me to take it in that sense?
I think so. I think a lot of the, it's quite interesting when our caseworkers, Perennial has a team of caseworkers based all around the country. And I think there's the current count now is 12 or 13 caseworkers and a small team of dedicated debt advice workers as well, because debt is a major issue. Now, what we find, what's reported to me, I work as part of the marketing and development team, what's reported to me is that clients and people that we help, it's a bit like an iceberg. They will come to us and say, I've got this problem and this is our problem. But when we delve in, when we go and we use our professional support to find out what really is the problem isn't what they think it is. The problem is it's like an iceberg under there. And that's because people either aren't, you know, they're not talking, they're not addressing, you know, they're not addressing the problems they have. I think it's fair to say that mental health issues, sometimes they're a symptom and sometimes they're a cause. Isn't that right? Don't you find this is it can be what comes first, I think, is a big question for us all, you know.
Well, I don't want to speak on anybody's behalf, but what I can say is, and again we've tried, not every single week, I'll grant you that, but you know, on average, I think just by chance we've ended up discussing mental health problems. This isn't entirely about that, but it is a big problem in the horticultural industry in particular, and I think personally, through friends of mine, I find that they tell me that they get a little bit down because of, number one, seasonal issues, where obviously they're not out working till 9 o'clock at night in the middle of June. They're more home at 4:30 on a December Wednesday afternoon because the weather is bad, and it just changes everything psychologically, maybe. And I'm no expert on it. I can only say what I've felt myself and spoke to friends about it. Is that what you're coming across, I guess, statistically, to back up that?
Absolutely. It's a tough industry. I'm not a horticulturalist. I've spent the last however many years working as a in the voluntary sector and charities. this is a really tough industry, a really tough industry. And I'm seeing, I mean, we're coming to almost the end of a show season now, aren't we? If you take one area of the industry, you take the, you know, the guys who do the shows and events, we're coming to an end of a season where it's 12-hour days, it's seven-day weeks. There's stress and pressure because there are deadlines and there are people screaming. And still, these people have to put on a show. These people have to, you know, they will have to, nobody cares about their problems because they have to put on a show. Imagine the pressure. Well, I, even looking at it, go to a show, an event, looking at it, you know, wherever you are, it's a tough one. And that's where Perennial can be there. And then you see the growers and you see the other side of the industry. I remember down just before Christmas time, I was down at a production nursery on the south coast of England. And you're watching everything get ready for Christmas. That's another stress and pressure, isn't it? It's immense and it's relentless.
There's those out there who will say, well, you know, if you can't handle the heat kind of thing, then you probably shouldn't be in the industry. From my own part, I've done the show garden, so I do agree with you on the pressures that are there. But in reality, there are probably more people who are just running a normal, inverted commas, landscaping business. Do you find that because maybe they're very good horticulturists, very good garden designers, very good garden makers and builders and gardeners, etc., etc., but the business side has lapsed? And then equally then on the other side of it, if you have hit a little bit of the mind, a hard rock, and you're not very good at dealing with your problems, is that kind of the iceberg that maybe you're referring to, that it's, you're almost not talking about it, but it's the cause of all the problems? Is that a better way?
Much easier to, yeah. But this is what's happening. You hit a brick wall because you can't see. And actually, sometimes if you're very close to a problem, you can't see the solution. And sometimes it can be very easy for somebody, one of our caseworkers, to say, actually, you know what, this is the change you have to make. This is what you have to do to clear everything away. And Perennial doesn't just, we're not a sticking plaster. You know, Perennial can give grants, and we do give grants. We can make a financial problem go away, but we're also making, it's very important to make sure that problem won't come back again. So that might be some changes to business plans. That might be, you know, some suggestions to how to make your business run better. You're completely right in what you say. Best horticulturist, you might be a brilliant horticulturist, you might be a complete and utter scientist, but running a business, it's another set of skills, isn't it? And do you come out, how do you learn those skills?
You learn by, I guess, being stung and riding the wave financially. You learn by literally either A, sinking or swimming, and sometimes it's the sinking bit where you just cannot see the wood from the trees. Mm-hmm. And make no bones about it, whether you've got a penny sweet shop or the biggest businesses in the world, sometimes you just need somebody to come in, put their arm around you and say, come on, I'll show you how it looks over from this side.
Absolutely, and that's what Perennial does in a very practical way. Our casework team, I mean, my job exists to keep those guys and girls on the road, basically. They are strong, professional people. I am in absolute awe of what they know and what they do, and how they help people. And that's, you know, that's pleasure and a privilege to actually do that job and keep them on the road.
Okay, so it's at this point now that I'll say to you, if you are in podcast land and you're listening to this, at Sod Show on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSodShow or sodshow.com, either A, search for Chris Crooker, Chrisc-Crooke, or just send us a note at Sod Show on Twitter and we'll send you on the link to that. That explains the history of Perennial and a little bit more, and it's quite an upbeat, funny interview, but we go back behind the scenes all the way back, my apologies, to when it first began. It's more than well worth the listen, and do go take a listen to that. Let's just get to the crux on this one, because one of the things that I see over and over and over again on your Twitter stream is, we are here to help, we are available to talk. You say it almost repeatedly, not to the point that it annoys me in any way, but
we want to annoy you. We want to annoy you. I think it's really, really important that, you know, you don't know when. I mean, Twitter's a funny thing. I'm old. Look, it's quite a tough one. I am really old. I'm old enough to think you shouldn't be at work playing on Twitter, but playing on Twitter does my job for me. And I think that there's a case of, at one point we will say that, and it will be the right person. It will be the right time for one person, and I'll take that. Take that punt. Okay.
But in short, the answer is, and let me double underline this: if you're listening to this in the future, or you know somebody out there who you think might benefit from this, if you want to get in touch, just search on Twitter. We'll put you in touch with Perennial. We'll give you their details, or just Google Perennial Gardeners Royal Benevolent Society. That's GRBS, isn't it? Perennial GRBS.
Perennial GRBS.
Yep. Yep. Send them a note, send it on to them, send them an email, drop them a line, pick up the phone, give them a call. They are there to help. Right, that's that bit out of the way just for a second. And we'll skip on to the next part, because it is fair to say that the entire of the horticultural industry absolutely loves, embraces, and literally puts their arms right back around you and says, yeah, we witnessed this year alone, you had Anne-Marie Powell jumping out of an airplane for charity. We have former guests of the show, I should add. You've got your big gala night that's taking place. Is that January 2017?
January, absolutely.
So this isn't that far away, folks. If you're coming from across the water, and by all means, I will be there. But for those who are not aware, I've never been. Can you give me some little bit of an idea of a taster of what's on what's going to happen in 2017, Jan?
January 2017, it will be a party for Perennial, and it's were you at the last one?
No, I didn't make the last one. I had a note from James Wong wondering where I was at one point in time, but
he was in a curb somewhere, wasn't he? I can't remember.
I'm not even going to get into that one.
No, he was great. He's always great. He's awesome. Party for Perennial. It is a party. Do you know what? It's a party, and it's tremendous fun, and all we have to do, this proves what a brilliant industry, because we provide a venue and you guys just get on with it, and it's brilliant, it's great. We have a raffle, we raise lots of money for the charity, there's an auction, everyone gets behind it, and it is a real party, and the atmosphere is electric. It's becoming a really hot ticket. That's brilliant. It's just lovely.
I know you had the full band on. You were slap bang in the centre of London. You literally had a full house. The auction prizes were up for the go. It involved Wimbledon. It involved a ton of stuff. Tickets, if I remember correctly, were about, you're supposed to be saying this, not me, but tickets were about €50, but it is higher than highly recommended. If people are listening to this and they want to get a ticket for that, how do they go about it? Head to the website?
Head to the website. When the tickets are live and open, they'll be on the website. Or if they want to get on a list, I'm sure we can contact us at Perennial GRBS on Twitter, and then we can add them to the list and send them out information when the tickets go live. But that's the next thing. That's what we're working on at the moment, just finalising where the party is going to be. It'll be a London base, but where it's going to be and what it's going to look like. But people can expect all they've seen before and more.
I missed you at Chelsea for no other apparent reason. I just managed to miss you. You eclipsed me, let's call it that.
But personally, I wasn't there.
but you were at Hampton Court Palace Flower Show, and you had a garden there. Do you want to explain to me a little bit the behind the scenes on that?
It's great to get involved in show gardens. They're quite Moorish, aren't they, show gardens? We've had some success in the past. This is our third year of show gardens, and we find, I mean, obviously we're a horticultural charity, you know, it's relatively easy for us to get involved in show gardens. It's easiest. A lot of people want to help us, and their expertise and professionalism give us some fantastic gardens, fantastic results. We had a great time at RHS Tatton last year with Paul Harvey Brooks, and this year we've had the opportunity to get involved in a garden called the Immerse Garden, which was a late entry, and...
Why would a charity get involved in the building of a show garden? What's the reason behind that? I mean, surely you could just take an inverted commas trade stand.
You can. Oh, blimey. Show garden. Do you know what? Charity show gardens are huge business, aren't they? There's a number of charities I can think of all around the UK that actually do, you know, a lot of their income, they put a lot of their marketing budget towards show gardens. We don't. We haven't got that. Perennial doesn't do that. But what we do tend to do is people will get involved with gifts in kind, lending us their expertise, lending us their, you know, their plants, lending us their kit and equipment. For us, it's about supporting horticulture, it's about producing something incredible, and it's about spreading the word about what Perennial does and how we do it, and how, you know, and also for us, it's income generating as well.
This is a funny one, and you should take compliment out of this, but of all of the charities that I've ever come across, and all of the in any way charities that have been involved at all with horticulture, you are the one which pretty much 365 days of the year jumps off the page. Why is that? Why do they love you so much? I mean, you're like a Jackson 5 song at a 40th birthday party. Women just flock to the dance floor and two steps away from doing Rock the Boat. And
we're 70s disco, aren't we?
You are very much, but you're the coolest dudes on the planet.
Everybody
loves you.
I think... it says something about the industry, doesn't it? We're obviously hit it. It says something about the industry rather than about us, about, you know, what floats the industry's boat. But I tell you what, we find it's a difficult one because Perennial as a charity, we're not one of your traditional, we're not a health charity, you know, we're not about animals. We are a welfare charity for a particular unique group of people. And that means, I think that means we're very focused on, you know, we're very focused on what we do and how our marketing is how our strategy works. But we need to be we need to immerse ourselves at the immersed garden that we had at Hampton Court. We need to immerse ourselves in the charity. And I think that's what we do really well as a team and as a charity. We are there with you. We're not just, you know, we're not paying lip service. As much as we can, we are there with you, trying to understand exactly what you go through and trying to understand exactly how you know everyone works. And as a result, I think that shows that we really do care. It's not just words.
Well, I think above all things, number one, to me, you are very easily approachable. Number two, the people who you then approach are without question some of the soundest people I've ever met in my life. And from Jamie to Chris to yourself, the list goes on and on, and everyone just seems always so happy to kind of say, yeah, what can I do for you rather than what can you do for us. It's a real feather in your cap, the people you have around you, and also the work that your charity does, if that makes sense, from my perspective anyway.
That's a really good thing to hear. Thank you for that. It's a great thing to hear, but it's very easy. You're easy people to love and like, horticulturalists, actually. The fact of the matter is you're all, this is turning into a bit of a love fest, isn't it? But you're all great people, and I'm not a horticulturist. Anyone who has ever met me will know I am not a horticulturalist in the slightest, but I don't need to be, because I know enough and I count enough as my friends now, and you're all great people. It's very easy.
Do you find that people that you've helped in the past who have come out the far side, let's say, mm-hmm. of the maybe difficult journey or the rocky road, do you find that they come back and literally do that extra little bit more because they've been in through it and understand the process a little bit better?
Yes and no. I think some do and some don't. It's not something we don't make it a proviso of our help that people give something back. We do have people that we do have various people that we've helped in the past that are prepared to share their stories and get involved and talk about what's happened to them, which is a fantastic thing to do and a very brave thing to do, because it's you're putting a human face on a story, which always makes that story so much stronger. But not everyone. We help 1400 people plus their families that we helped last year, and most of those people remain anonymous. Which is as they wish, which is fine. But we always love hearing the stories, because obviously it reminds us what we're doing this for, and it reminds you that there's always a human, you know, that behind that case study there's a very human person, and a very, you know, there's a person.
To the burning issue, and came up in the interview with Chris, but Peter's badly tanned Irish arse and the perennial calendar, which is obviously going to be a hot seller. What are the updates on that, as per what is written down in front of me?
the calendar sits on my desk at the moment. One of the things I need to get organised, because we're running out of arse time, aren't we? Are you going in the calendar?
Well, apparently I have a verbal contract with Chris Crooker that my arse is going in. But on a serious note, Chris, we need to solve this and we need to sort it out. There has not been an Irishman's bottom in any grubby gardener's calendar, and I'll bite. I might have a bad tan, and not an all over onesie kind of a tan,
right,
Chris? But we need to talk about this. How are we going to fix it?
Well, I think we probably should.
I think we should too. I've never really paid my own bottom a compliment, but there we go.
Well, do you know what? We can start planning for the 2017 edition, can't we?
It'll be a sellout, Chris. It'll be a sellout. Hey, what's the plans for the rest of 2016?
Well, so much. We've got, we're at the flower shows, so we're at Malvern, Chelsea, Hampton Court. We are doing our exclusive garden tours. We've got all those fundraisers that are happening this year. The development managers will be at all the trade shows up and down the country. We've got legacy events planned in the pipeline. It's just lots of new stuff, lots of programs that are annual that come back year on year, but lots of exciting stuff ahead for us for 2016.
Okay, and the big gig is obviously the if you have a calendar or one of those wall planners, stick it on. Get it tattooed onto your hand. It's about the first, second week in January every year, and you will find me there holding a picture of myself on a calendar and my arse, my Irish badly tanned arse sticking somewhere there with the sunshine beaming onto it. Chris, if people on a serious note want to get in touch, how do they do that?
Can I firstly say, now that you've actually said that and that's out in the public domain, that's almost like signing a contract, isn't it?
Apparently. Oh, hold on a second. I didn't know it was going to work out like that. Listen, if it's good enough for Michael Perry and Darren Jack, it's good enough for me,
exactly,
my man.
Exactly. Yeah,
and fair play.
If people do want to get in touch with us, it might be that they want our help. It might be that they want to fundraise or volunteer or look at the corporate partnership scheme. So I would advise the first thing to do is go to our website, which is www.perennial.org.uk. But you can get in touch with us on 0800 093 8510 as well. And we'd love to hear from people.
Okay, you're also on the Twitter. You have the Facebook as well. If you're unsure of any of those details at all, and you're listening to this in podcast, hit the middle button on your iPhone, head straight to your Twitter account @Sodshow, and we'll put you directly in touch with Chris. Chris Crooker, thank you so much for your time. It has been a real genuine pleasure, and I look forward to seeing you at the Photography Day the National Photography Day of Peter's Arse. And on a very serious note, I genuinely will look forward to the perennial national party that's going to take place in January 2017.
Fantastic. Well, I look forward to meeting you too then in due course.
You will indeed.
I'll get something in the diary soon.
And now, I don't want to upset the Michael Perrys of this world. He has a perfectly tanned bottom, according to media reports.
You need something for everyone, I find. You absolutely need something. We need something for everyone. There will always be, as you know, specialist websites. It works very well. Well, if you're here, I mean, how long? Obviously, we are where we are having this interview. I do have a photographer.
Right.
Which is somewhere.
I'm just looking at my clock at this moment in time.
You what?
I'm not a clock.
Right.
That's very good.
That's fine. Well, I'm sure we could, you know, your arse is always welcome on the pages of Perennial.
I never thought I'd hear that said. My mother would be very proud of me. On to more serious matters, and as a very swift change of subject, if people do want to get in touch with Perennial, the contact details are?
Perennial is www.perennial.org.uk.
You are on the Twitter yourself?
I'm on the Twitter at Laura M. Garnett.
Okay, and Perennial is Perennial GRBS.
At Perennial GRBS.
If you're stuck for any of that information, you're on the road, you're travelling at Sodshow on Twitter, we'll put you directly in touch with them. In the meantime, Laura, thank you so much for your time.
A pleasure
to finally meet you.
Take care, thank you.
And that is it, another episode of The Sodshow Complete at Sodshow on Twitter, facebook.com/TheSodshow, and sodshow.com for the entire back catalogue. And if you fantastic, wonderful people do get a moment to spare, go to currencyfair.com, at currencyfair on Twitter. Drop them a note, say hi, see if you can do a little bit of business with them. It'll be appreciated. They'll thank you for it. I'll thank you for it. You'll feel good about yourself. It'll be great. Have a great weekend, the great outdoors. Thanks for listening. Take care. Slán. Bye.